We ain't going out like that. Watch me go and bounce right back. Cause we ain't going out like that, no. We ain't going out like that. We ain't going out like that. Watch me go and bounce right back. Welcome to the very first episode of Any Given Season, a bowl season podcast. I'm Nick Carparelli, the executive director of Bowl Season, and I can't imagine a better first guest
on
our first episode of our newly branded podcast than the Eric
McClain. My man, thank you so much, brother.
You know, I every time I see you, I'm like, is this guy getting bigger? But you've actually lost some weight.
I lost a little pounds trying to cut up. I see these beautiful offensive linemen over here, man. I got to keep up with them.
How much did you weigh when you played?
330 was national championship game. That was kind of where you just got to be a monster, right? I'm going against Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, those big monsters, you just got to get ready and get going. And it's one of those things, man, where I came in as a tight end. I mean, I stepped on campus at 245, left campus at 330. I mean, it's a different ballgame.
And you're just a big dude. It's just naturally big.
That's why, you know, I found the weight room and they're like, oh yeah, just slide inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a bigger number.
Move over a slot or two. Yeah. Good. Well, you know, we've talked on a few podcasts. You were on our old Bowl Season Stories podcast.
I was on with you and Kelly, and so
really, really glad to talk to you today. So we're here at the ACC football kickoff. I don't know. You're my go-to guy for ACC information. I can't imagine anybody knowing more about the conference, having played at Clemson and analyzing it on a week-to-week basis. The average fan probably expects Florida State, Clemson to be, you know, at the top of the conference. Right. What team should we look out for that might be a surprise this season?
Yeah, well, that's how it's been for, you know, 13 whatever plus years that it's been, more than that probably, in my playing career and my ACC fandom since I've been working at the network. I mean, that's who wins. And then Pittsburgh is somehow, you know, squeezed in the middle of all of that. But this is the only year that I can remember. Again, I'm not that old. I haven't been following it that long compared to others like a Packer or West Durham. We've got six teams that I would not be shocked at all if any of them win. But more importantly, if any two of the six are right here in Charlotte come December. And that's an awesome feeling. Now, that could all blow up week two. But as we sit right here, I have never felt as confident of the depth of the quarterback play, of the skill set that this league has, which is great and exciting. And even better, we've got opportunities. We're going to play Georgia. We're going to play Tennessee. We're going to go out of conference as a league and have these opportunities. Miami plays Florida week one. And so you have these opportunities outside of the conference to fly that ACC flag. You have to make the most of it.
Well, it's so much harder to predict nowadays because of the turnover in rosters. I mean, as great a year as Florida State had last year, they lost 10 guys to the draft.
Crazy.
Roughly 20 guys transferring out, 20 transferring in. I mean, who knows how good they're going to be. But my feeling is they're probably going to be pretty good.
It's one of those things where you've got to trust the guy in charge. And I think Coach Norvell has completely earned that. He is a guy that, man, his culture was instilled so quickly. And there was some bumps to start. I mean, there was some weird, you know, kind of things that happen, but then you see it, you see the success almost instantaneously of how he's climbed that mountain. And quite frankly, maybe an opportunity taken away to finish the deal there. I don't quite think, you know, 14-0, 13-0 regular season, but I don't think there's any question they're here to compete.
You know, it's interesting. We're in this era of NIL. We're going to have direct payments soon, transfer portal.
Yeah.
You know, with the transfer portal, it's interesting to see the different philosophies that coaches have, right? So, you know, Florida State, 20 new guys coming in. Yeah. I think there's a lot of programs.
Louisville,
like
31.
That. Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot.
Your alma mater, zero.
Like only one.
What's the right formula?
Probably somewhere in between. Yeah. You know, it would be hard for me to year after year have 30 new transfers on top of however many high school freshmen you have coming in as well, or you know, freshmen that come in from high school. That's a lot of turnover. That's a lot of me saying the same thing over and over to get everything instilled instead of my players being able to do that. So I don't necessarily know if I would love to do that, but if you have to, you have it. You know, it's there. It's not one of those things anymore, Nick, where I have to sit and wait for this recruiting class. Jeff Brohm came in last year. Coach Brohm did unbelievable. Didn't have to wait till he got his guys, wait 3 years till they develop and play. He went and got 28, 30, whatever it was a year ago, and went to the ACC championship. So it's one of those things where you have that accessibility. I tend to think it's more in the middle, but whatever you need to do for your program.
Well, it's harder and harder to build a culture. Right? Every coach I've talked to, you know, they answer the question, but I don't think they've got it figured out either.
Like, sure.
I mean, there's something to be said for having a guy for 2, 3, 4 years,
no
doubt. And you know each other.
He's an extension of you.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And you know, it's just a different game. Do you, let's talk about NIL a little bit, you know, in your experience talking to players. How much do you think the average player factors in? All right, how much money am I going to get to go here versus where's a good fit for me and for my long-term future? You're a Clemson alum for life,
right?
You're a part of that network, right? Are we losing that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that probably depends where you're going, and there's certainly schools that I think you would be silly to say have not made a staple out of that. I mean, we can look at the valuations and what's real, what's not. We can look at the hearsay on social media that X player made X at X school, and it seems to be the same schools. And you see some maybe decisions that lead to that. But I don't think it's everywhere. I truly don't. I think that there's certainly still people that truly value an education, that still value, you know, heritage or lineage or anything from, you know, like my future kids hopefully will want to go to Clemson for that reason.
Or else
pay for yourself. And so it's one of those things, man, where a little bit, but I don't think it's all gone.
Yeah. So, you know, now that we're going to have direct payments, it seems like people are now talking about, okay, players want to get paid. I believe they should, but there's always another side of the equation, right? Like you and I have jobs.
Right.
We get paid. If
right.
we don't do our job, you don't get
fired.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, from a bowl perspective, we don't love the opt-outs, you know. It seems to me that if a student athlete moving forward is going to get paid, it might be reasonable to think he's required to play 12 regular season games, bowl game, and
sure.
or the CFP.
Sure.
Is there anything wrong with that thought?
You know, it's fascinating, like, how do you enforce it, especially if a guy is going to the next level or leaving that school. So I don't know are you fining them? You know, are you taking money back?
You don't get paid, you know,
yeah,
you
right.
don't pay them a monthly.
Is there one that's
salary.
Held back, you know?
Yeah, as you know, in the NFL, you get 16
paychecks. Oh, yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah. So are those games, you know, held back? Sure.
Yep.
I mean, I think there's certainly a creative model that you can make happen that's fair, that's equitable, you know, because I think certainly we need everybody to play, right? Just the games and teammates. I do not like the opting out at all.
All right, we're here with SMU quarterback Preston Stone. Preston, what an impressive season last year. Started the first 12 games, threw for, 3,197 yards, 28 touchdowns. But obviously a little disappointing for you. You got injured in that last regular season game. Couldn't play in the conference championship game. Couldn't play in the bowl game. Is that maybe a little more incentive for you to have that same kind of regular season so you can experience the postseason?
Absolutely. And I want to even improve on what I did last year. And so I think we're crazy excited for the step up in competition we're going to have this year. And I'm personally looking forward to just continue to sharpen every aspect of my game.
Well, in addition to that, you're changing leagues. I personally think the American was a lot more competitive than people thought. But obviously now in the ACC, another challenge for you. How excited are you for looking ahead to this season?
I'm very excited. Very excited. You know, we're Coach Lashley in our first team meeting back. He said we won the middleweight title and now we're stepping into the heavyweight division. So, you know, the competition is going to be great. I think, regardless of who we play on Saturday, if we can execute and play our game, we can win every game this year.
Interesting, interesting way to look at it. So, you grew up in Dallas. You're going to SMU. I got to say, you're a little bit of an anomaly nowadays. You didn't play much your first 2 years. But didn't transfer. You had your opportunity last year. You hit it out of the park. You had a successful season. Some people transfer after that.
Mm-hmm.
You decided to stay at SMU, what's going to be now your fourth year on campus. What went into that decision-making process for you?
You know, I think the culture, the environment we have at SMU is special. And there's never been an incentive to leave. And Coach Lashley is the best coach I've ever had. So we've got a great culture, a great team at SMU. And it's home for me.
Pretty special to be able to stay home and play major college football.
Definitely.
As well, I would imagine.
Definitely.
Did you make the bowl trip to the Fenway Bowl even though you didn't play?
I did. So our championship game was December 2nd, and I had surgery 3 or 4 days before the championship game. So I stayed home for Christmas. I think we played on the 27th or the 28th, and so I was there for a day or two. And okay. I was at the game.
Did you get to experience any of the bowl week fun that bowl games are known for?
A little bit. You know, I was rolling around on a scooter, so there wasn't much much fun for me to have aside from playing video games and eating Cheetos. But it was still a great time.
Speaking of video games, have you played the new EA Sports game yet? I'm sure you have.
Of course.
Are you SMU, or do you like to try to be somebody else?
Definitely predominantly SMU.
Yeah.
But it's fun. You know, I know a ton of guys who play college football, so it's fun.
You to agree with your rating, or is it a little off?
I'm content with it. They did me pretty well. I've got an 88, so that's solid.
All right. That's very good. We're now joined by Georgia Tech quarterback, Haynes King. Haynes, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
So, native of Longview, Texas, started out your career at Texas A&M, stayed there for 3 years. It's a long time. People usually aren't that patient before they transfer, but you did transfer for Georgia Tech. Unbelievable first year at Georgia Tech. Tell us about last season.
You know, it was exciting. Little unknown, just like you said, being at my first year, I was almost kind of filling it out, learning people, what motivates them, stuff like that. So it was a lot of, I guess you'd say, learning the first year, which was fun. But you know, now I'm ready for the second season, first season under the belt. You know, now it's my team. Everybody's more confident. We got a lot of returning starters. I'm just excited for the season.
Georgia Tech had not been to a bowl game since 2018, hadn't won a bowl game since 2016. You go to the Gasparilla Bowl, you beat a good UCF team. I was at that game, actually. Tell us about your bowl experience. What was it like to play in a bowl game? What was your favorite memory from that whole bowl week?
It was definitely pretty fun. That was the first bowl game that I played in. You know, the other one prior was when I was at A&M, when we went to the Orange Bowl, didn't play in it. So this was the first time I played in a bowl game, and my favorite memory was at the end. We were striking up the cigars and holding the trophy up, and that was my proudest moment right there. Just from what this team went through that season, the ups and downs, the adversity, and for us to finish like that and to win the bowl game, it was pretty fun.
Now, heading into year two for you at Georgia Tech, obviously, with the success you had your first year there as a starter, heightened expectations. What are you looking forward to next season? And tell us something about your team that maybe those of us who aren't on the inside don't know about in terms of your roster, new players coming in, and what we could expect to see on the field.
You know, me, I'm just ready to play. I'm excited to go out there and compete. I feel like the rest of the team feels the same way. You know, just tired of waiting around, doing some workouts. We're ready to put the pads on and roll out there week one. But this team, it's just amazing how close and tight-knit we are, and the culture that we have within the locker room. It's just amazing. The type of people we have and the way they're wired, it's just relieving, and it's like everybody wants to compete and compete for the same thing.
You know, we're in a different world nowadays than we were 3 or 4 years ago. You have NIL, transfer portal. Tell me, how important was NIL to you in deciding what school you wanted to go to? And as a player, how do you balance what's best for you as an individual, which you're certainly entitled to do, versus what's best for the team?
NIL played no part. You know, I'm old school. I was raised old school, how my dad raised me. And I'm one of those people that believe the more you produce, that the money will find you. The more you win and produce, everything else is going to take care of itself. You go out there, put your head down, grind it all season, you're always going to be better. And the reasons for success have not changed. If you go in there, I guess you'd say, not necessarily begging, but asking for money, saying throwing a price, like your value goes down, because now you're putting a price on it. Instead of just going out there grinding and whatever happens, happens. But my main focus is winning this next game.
Quality of character is pretty important in winning games, I would think. If you have a whole roster full of guys like that,
yes,
you're going to do pretty well. Have you played the new college football game yet, EA Sports?
Like two times. I had to go buy a PlayStation. I've never had a video game system before, and I had to go buy one for this. I want to play.
Were you Georgia Tech, or did you?
You know, I was Georgia Tech.
Of course. Are you happy with your player rating, or is it a little off?
I'm pretty happy. You know, I don't know how they necessarily rate those things and how they do it, but you can only get so close because there's only a certain amount of things that you put on scale to rate it.
Yeah. Well, they adjust that year to year. Maybe a year from now, you'll have a different rating. Welcome back to the show. We now welcome Florida State head coach Mike Norvell. Coach, thanks for joining us. Unbelievable season last year, 12-0 regular season, win the ACC championship game. Story's been well told what happened afterwards. But now, looking ahead to this year, you lost 10 guys to the NFL draft. These numbers might not be exact. I read somewhere 22 guys transferred out, 17 transferred in. Going to have a new quarterback, kind of a rebuild, but you're probably still going to be pretty good. Tell me about this coming year.
Yeah, man, we're really excited. We got 77 guys that were on last year's team that are part of this one. A lot of experienced players, but obviously, when you have 10 guys drafted a year ago, we got opportunity for new stars to be able to emerge. And these guys have done a great job since January, putting in a ton of work. We've had a great offseason program, spring practice, summer program. We report tomorrow, and just very excited about what the future holds and seeing this team to go out there and showcase the identity of what they're all about, and a lot of confidence in the group I get to coach.
What's your philosophy on recruiting now, high school versus transfer portal guys?
We're going to continue to build this through the high school ranks. We're about 60-65% high school signees, 35-40% good transfers has been on average the last few years. When you look at it, it's still about finding the complementary pieces, finding the right fit for Florida State. Every position, every season is unique to itself and what we need and what we might need or how those guys can come in there and compete together. And, I think there's plenty of programs out there that take a lot more transfers than we do, but we've been pretty successful getting the right ones and guys that have come in, whether they were coming in with high accolades or successful seasons. Some guys, really relatively being unknown and been able to come in and play for multiple years and become the stars of college football. So we're definitely grateful for the guys that have been a part of this journey and excited about what's ahead.
Is it harder for you to build a team culture nowadays than it used to be?
It's still, everything that we do is about building a team. And, I think that the path and the journey that guys take to become a part of it is going to be unique to themselves. And, back in the day when there was junior college players or high school players, you still had, I've been fortunate to be around great ones that have had, both tracks. And, ultimately, it's still about pouring everything you have into each other and, being able to play together.
I want to talk about bowl games for a minute. We have an array of bowl game title sponsor products. You had a unbelievable bowl victory in the Cheez-It Bowl, now the Pop-Tarts Bowl against Oklahoma 2 years ago. Kind of launched you into that undefeated season. What do you remember most about that game 2 years ago?
It was a great game. The emotional swings, a lot of different adversities that showed up, but a team that found a way to go and finish. And the game was great. The post-game was pretty outstanding. I think clearing out Cheez-Its from different parts of my body for a while. It was pretty, that Cheez-It bath was unique, but it was definitely a wonderful experience, and obviously it was a great bowl.
Welcome back to the Any Given Season podcast. We are now joined by Virginia Tech quarterback Kyren Drones. Kyren, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate
really
you being
here.
Yeah. Never know who you're going to run into here at ACC kickoff. Kyren, you started off, your first 2 years was at Baylor. Transferred to Virginia Tech last year. It wasn't until I think week 3 that you started for the rest of the season. Responsible for 22 touchdowns, nearly 3,000 yards of total offense. Led Virginia Tech to the first bowl win since 2016. Tell me about the last couple of years, your decision to leave Baylor, your decision to come to Virginia Tech, and then the great year you had last year.
Just me, when I first got to Baylor, I was really excited to go there. I love Coach Aranda and what he taught me, and I was really glad for my experience there, but I just felt like I just knew I wanted to play, and I knew I didn't want to wait any longer. So I transferred to Virginia Tech. First day portal opened, I met Coach Bowen and then Coach Pride, and then I just felt like I had a connection with them. And then once I got on my visit, I knew it was a wrap for me going there just because I like the town and I like what Coach Pride is trying to build. And then just I'm really glad for the experience of me going through that QB battle. that I did last season, and then just me finally getting my opportunity and just going out there and securing it.
Did the pregame team entry song, Enter Sandman, have anything to do with it?
Yeah, when I on my visit, that's the first thing my dad showed me, and I never had an experience like that. And it's like that no matter what game, no matter who we play, no matter what time, no matter what Virginia Tech record is, the fans going to show out, and I love them for that.
Is it ever going to get old, do you think?
Nah. Like, every time going out there, you just do a 360, see the fans jumping up and down, hearing Enter Sandman. It's a real good feeling every time.
So now let's look ahead to next year. You know, you talk to people, you know, when people think about the ACC, they talk about Florida State and Clemson at the top. I'm hearing a lot of people talk about Virginia Tech maybe being that team to challenge for the championship. Tell me what you think about that.
I mean, it's a good feeling, but like Coach Pratt tells us, don't really get into that. We just got to go out there and keep building on what we did last year. Even though last year is over with, we just got to go out there and keep working hard and then take it one game at a time, and then everything's going to take care of itself.
Tell me about your experience at the Military Bowl. Everybody who plays major college football, of course, you want to get to the playoff, but, you know, before that, your first step, go to a bowl game, experience playing that one extra game with your friends, experiencing a new part of the country, the bowl week activities. Tell me about your experience at the Military Bowl, and did you have a favorite moment on or off the field that week?
Military Bowl is my first time being in D.C., so that was fun. And then just going bowling with the guys, that's a good bonding experience. And then just going out there and winning the game, that was my favorite moment throughout the whole week, just being there. And then I never played in a game like that with it raining like that, so that was my first time dealing with that. It was good and bad at times, but I was just glad we went out there, did what we did, and had a dominating win.
Virginia Tech has such a great bowl tradition. You went, I think, 28 years in a row, then missed a couple of years. We had a couple of your offensive linemen on our podcast last year, and they were talking about how much pride you as a team were taking into, hey, we got to get Virginia Tech back on track. First step is get to another bowl game and start that streak over again. Did you feel that kind of sense of pressure for that?
Not really pressure, just we knew what we were capable of and we knew what we wanted to accomplish. So they knew what happened the season before, and we just knew we couldn't dwell on that and then just go out there and just finish the season strong, and that's what we did.
Let me ask you about the new landscape of college athletics a little bit with NIL and being able to transfer. Obviously, that worked out great for you. Baylor, great choice to go to Baylor. You just weren't playing, so you go to Virginia Tech. How do you balance the temptation of NIL money versus fit for you personally and the culture that you want to put yourself in?
I mean, NIL money really going to take care of itself. I mean, it's not really about that. I know the step I want to get to is the NFL money. So you just got to go with the best school and the best offense that's going to take care of that and help you build to where you want to be. So, and I feel like Virginia Tech is that for me. And I'm really glad I'm here, and I'm really glad to keep doing it.
Well, I enjoy watching you play there for sure. We now welcome to the show Pitt quarterback Nate Yarnell. Nate, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Nate, you enrolled at Pitt early in 2021. You played in two games in 2022. Last year, you played in four games total, started the final two, and now you're ready to take the starting job heading into next season. How does that feel for you? Are you ready for the task?
You know, it's kind of a surreal moment, you know, knowing you have to get the opportunity to start for a school that you love and that you want to play at. Something I've always dreamed of. And I know we have a great, you know, team around me this year. They're going to boost my confidence, but we're ready to go.
How did you pick Pitt in the first place? Were you a Pitt fan growing up? Were you aware of Pitt? They recruited you and you just fell in love with it? What was it?
You know, if you would have told me as a kid growing up that I was going to go to Pennsylvania for college, I would have looked at you like you were crazy. 2021 was a, you know, crazy year, 2020 with COVID and everything, and Coach Narduzzi was just, you know, I had an immediate connection with him. I was really excited about coming to Pitt, and I loved the city as soon as I got here.
Let's look ahead to next season a little bit. So now, last year, 3-9, a little uncharacteristic of Pitt, had won 20 games total the previous 2 years. You only started the last two games. One of them was a victory over Boston College. How's the team going to turn around this year compared to last year?
You know, it's been a big emphasis that we're not going to repeat last year. Everybody's working hard this offseason. I've seen it in the spring. I've seen the winter, seen it in the spring, seen it in the summer. Teams coming together, and we're ready to win football games this year.
What's your perception of NIL in the college space? Now, 3 years ago, when you were in high school, NIL wasn't really a thing. And obviously now that you're in college, it's, you know, it's a thing. I'm sure it's important to you. What role does NIL play in your life and how you see yourself fitting into any football program, really?
You know, obviously, I think it's a good thing for college, you know, as far as, you know, helping players get opportunities and that kind of thing. But you know, for me, I just want to win football games and I want to play football. I really haven't worried about it too much. I'm obviously, you know, you want to make up, you know, good opportunities that you have, but the biggest thing that'll help you in your career is win football games, and so that's what I'm focused on.
You don't think about that too much, like you know, the notion of being paid directly from schools, the you know, whether you're considered an employee or not and have to pay taxes. Do you even think about that? Do your parents help you with that, or do you just say, you know what, I'll cross that bridge when I come to?
Yeah, I definitely rely on my parents for things like that. Yeah. You know, obviously, that's my first season as starting quarterback. My priorities have been on preparing this offense and making sure I know what's going on going into fall camp next week. So that's where my mind's at right now.
Yeah. Have your sights set on any specific bowl game of the bowl games that the ACC goes to? Is there one you say that'd be pretty cool to go to that game? Any of these bowl groceries interest you?
They all look good. Obviously, you know, wins the Sun Bowl. So this one, you know, speaks to me. You know, Peach Bowl for sure. For me, just because 21, we went there for the Peach Bowl, and now this year's the national championship. That's the first one that comes to mind for me. So I'd love to go there.
All right. We now welcome to the show Pitt head coach Pat Narduzzi. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, appreciate it, Nick.
Appreciate you joining us. Now, you and I have a lot in common. Obviously we're both Italian. That's first and foremost. We've both lived in Rhode Island, still summer there. But I just figured out last night that we were both born in New Haven, Connecticut.
How about that?
I don't know if we were born in the same hospital. You're a couple of years older than me, so we didn't necessarily cross paths there. But
am I older than you, really?
I saw you were born in 66. I was born in 68, so I'm much younger. But, Coach, don't want to look back too much. We're always looking forward. Last year, very uncharacteristic of you, your teams. You won 20 games over the course of two seasons. Last year, you were 3-9, 14 incoming transfers, 20 outgoing transfers, give or take. How is this year's team going to look different than last year's?
You know what? We're going to win a lot more football games. I can tell you that. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, years go like that, and I think sometimes it's needed. I think our guys kind of felt like that we were just going to show up and win football games, and that doesn't happen. There's a lot of hard work that comes into that. You don't win championships by just kind of putting your helmet out there and hoping that someone makes a play. So I think it was something that was needed, and our kids have done an outstanding job in the offseason of getting ready to go.
Let's talk bowl games for a minute. So your last bowl game was the season before last. You beat UCLA in the Sun Bowl, ironic, as the sun is beating on us right here. Unbelievable game, one of the best finishes of that bowl season.
No
tell doubt. Tell us about that game. That must have been a lot of fun.
You know, Bernie does a great job down at the Sun Bowl. We had a great time. Our players, you know, remember that game for a long time ago. But, you know, you think with 34 seconds, you know, left in that game, we're down. And then Nick Patty takes us back for a game-winning field goal out of Ben Sauls, who also returns our kicker this year. So, you know, it was a heck of a ball game and in a great atmosphere.
Over the course of your career, even as an assistant at Cincinnati, Michigan State, and then obviously at Pittsburgh, you've been a part of a lot of bowl games. Tell me about that bowl game experience for you, your staff, your players, as a reward for a great season. But a lot of coaches look at it as kind of a launching point for the next season.
No doubt. You know, we love the bowl game season. I mean, that's, you know, that's probably the next best thing to the season. I mean, the season's the best time of the year for us as coaches that love the game of football. You know, the opportunity for our kids to spend 5 or 6 days in another city, get to know that city, playing a bowl game is incredible. And, you know, I sure hope they don't go away. You see how things are changing in college football, and I know that's a concern of yours. We just love it, and we've had some great bowl games through the years. I mean, played against some outstanding teams in some great cities with great people. I mean, you think about all the people in the bowls that we've had a chance to meet through the years. We love them.
Any moment stick out in your mind over all those bowl games, either during a game or during the bowl week leading up to any moment that's really
You're talking
memorable.
Besides the game?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think the memorable part is spending time with your families, really. I mean, you get a chance to go, whether it's a Rose Bowl, a Cotton Bowl, or a Peach Bowl, or the Sun Bowl. I mean, just spending time with your family is a reward. It's a time you get to see your wife and kids a little bit more than you did during the season. And you know, I think coaches and players look forward to bowl games, but I know the families love them as well.
Let's take it off the field for a minute. With all the changes in college athletics, NIL, transfer portal, players are going to get paid directly by the universities now. How do you manage your roster, and how are you able to build a program with a great culture nowadays?
You know, I think culture comes with consistency. And one thing we've lost in college football is the consistency. I think we're teaching our players nowadays, you know, things don't go the way you want them to go, and it's easy just to bail out. So we've done a good job of trying to hold on to the guys that we want to try to hold on to and let some of the maybe the guys that you're not necessarily worried about take off and go somewhere else. But it's harder as a head coach to keep that consistency and keep your team together.
Do you think players should be considered employees?
I do. I think, you know, they are employees. I mean, yeah. whether you use the word consider or not, I mean, they are. So we might as well make it go that way.
I mean, from our perspective, you know, it's when players are getting paid either through NIL or directly from the school, you know, there's a balance to that, right? We both have jobs. We get paid, but we're expected to perform certain duties. For us at the bowl level,
if you leave, you got to pay your buyout.
Exactly. So at the for us, the notion that player gets paid, and as a result, he's got to play in 12 regular season games, a bowl game, and or the playoff. Seems logical to me.
Very logical. Yeah. And, you know, and again, there's ways out of it, I guess, if they need to or want to, but totally agree.
We're now joined by Virginia quarterback Tony Musket. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Tony, I love stories like yours, right? Coming out of high school, probably in your mind under-recruited. You go to an FCS program in Monmouth. I have a great appreciation for the quality of play in FCS programs, but you know, maybe the general public doesn't understand that. But you play 3 years there, earn your way to get an opportunity at the next level of Virginia. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your journey from high school quarterback to FCS and then getting an opportunity at Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think I was definitely a little bit under-recruited out of high school. But, you know, I had a good opportunity to go up to Monmouth. I was surrounded by a ton of talent. Great coaches. I mean, they made my job easy. Getting the opportunity in the transfer portal to come back home, play at UVA, you know, an hour and a half, hour 45 from where I grew up. It's completely awesome. I'm super thankful, you know, just for the blessing to be here. And then, yeah, you know, last year, like excitement going in, didn't quite go the way we wanted, but really high hopes for this season going forward.
So last year was tough for you. You started six games in the middle of a couple injuries, right? Shoulder injury at the beginning, ankle injury at the end. Heading into this season healthy, how do you think this year is going to be different than last?
Just as a team, I think, you know, we were returning a lot of experience. I'm sure either Cam or Chico, if you talk to them, but, you know, the stat that we lost, I think, five games by 7 points or less. You know, that's big for us, and I know a lot of teams across the country can say that. But we understand that, you know, what it takes to win those close games now. We have a lot of experience returning. We really only lost, you know, two to three starters that played for us last year on both sides of the ball. So, you know, that experience coming back and then also that confidence that we can, you know, play with any team in the country, I think is going to go a long way for us.
You know, Virginia has a great history in bowl games. You haven't been to a bowl game since 2019. Yeah. I'm sure that's a big team goal of yours.
It's a huge goal. I mean, not only making a bowl game, but, you know, competing to the standard, and that standard is, you know, competing for ACC championships and now being in the playoff. So, no, 100%. First goal is obviously, you know, dominate camp and then win that first game and then, you know, get to a bowl game and get to the ACC championship.
What's your perspective on, you know, all the new things in college athletics off the field? NIL players getting paid directly, transfer portal. You know, how important, how much of a focus is NIL for you or your teammates in terms of choosing which institution that you think they want to go to?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a part of college football now. Me personally, I try to keep that separate. You know, I have people that handle that for me. And obviously, it's something you want to take advantage of because it doesn't ask that for us. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm playing college football to win championships and, you know, win games. So that stuff is all cool. But, you know, when camp comes around, locked into camp, focused on that.
Have you played the EA Sports college football game yet? Who hasn't, right?
Well, I've played it. I don't actually own it because you got to buy the new console, the new Xbox Series X. Yeah. And I wasn't going to go buy.
My sons have the same problem.
I wasn't going to go buy a $400 console to play one game. But we got two PlayStations in the players' lounge, so I'll just go over to the facility and there we guys playing usually, so I can. We can
what team? What team are you? Virginia must be.
I play as Virginia. I like playing as some of the G5 teams. Like, yeah. I'll be Troy, Miami, Ohio, just teams like that. I think it's kind of fun to play those guys.
What do you think of your player rating?
Yeah, I got asked a lot today. I mean, I get it, but like the only thing I have an issue with is my speed. I'm pretty sure it's like a 60 something or like a 70.
Yeah,
and like I understand, I was playing with a banged up shoulder, wasn't running around too much, but I definitely think that needs to get raised a little bit.
Yeah, well, better you do it in reality than in the game. So we'll keep an eye on that this year. We now welcome to the show Louisville quarterback Tyler Shuck. Tyler, welcome
to the
show. Yes,
sir. Thank you.
Glad to have you. Guy from Chandler, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Been to, it's your third school now. Those kind of stories are always interesting to me, the decisions that people make to put themselves in the best positions to be successful. You were at Oregon, Texas Tech, now Louisville. A lot of reasons for making those changes, but you're a guy who was, you had pretty good success at mm-hmm. your previous two stops, but now you're at Louisville. What brought you here?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the opportunity to come here and work with Coach Brohm and the offense and the expectations that they've had last year going into this year was really attractive to me coming in the portal. And you know, obviously came here just because I had some freak injuries at Texas Tech and wanting to bounce back from those and prove myself and prove to the team and scouts that what I can do and what I know I can do. And I'm just really excited for that opportunity.
Yeah, certainly can't question the decision of to be mentored by a great quarterback family, mm-hmm. really, at a place like Louisville. Let's talk about your bowl game experiences a little bit. You were the MVP of the 2022 Texas Bowl, mm-hmm. victory over Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like? Tell me about the game, maybe even the game week activities. Those are always fun at bowl games.
Yeah, I mean, it was an awesome experience being able to go there and do the Rodeo Bowl. And I love that team and that coaching staff is great. And being able to – bowl season is always fun. You know, it's always a great week of activities. We were in Houston then. It was a great time. It was actually really unique because about 10 people ended up after the game, but two of us before the game had food poisoning and the stomach flu. So that whole night before the game, I was curled up around a toilet, throwing up the whole night and had IV bags up until the game. And, you know, I lost like 15 pounds after the game. So it was pretty tough, but we ended up getting the job done and it was a lot of fun just going there with the teammates and being able to get the victory. And that was a great,
so much for feeling your best going into a game.
Yeah. I mean, it was tough, but it was a lot of fun though, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it was a great finish that year going undefeated and, you know, battling back from, you know, that freak collarbone injury and being able to finish strong. It was just a lot of fun.
Let's talk about NIL a little bit. It's still kind of a new thing. It really kind of mimics your career, right? It kind of mm-hmm. started when you were entering college. And always interesting to hear how individuals, and maybe you can kind of speak on behalf of your team, your teammates a little bit, how do you balance, you know, making decisions that are in your best interest, mm-hmm. which you should do. We all need to do that. But at the same time, you know, being loyal to your coaches, your teammates, people who are giving you opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, when I first went into college, you know, there was no NIL when I was at Oregon. So, you know, it was definitely a different experience. You know, I could barely afford to eat some meals and you had to, you know, budget accordingly. And you know, I really be smart about saving. I kind of took that philosophy, you know, going into Texas Tech and whenever NIL first started. And, you know, my goal was to always develop relationships within the community and within the team and the staff and the boosters and companies throughout. So I think I just really took that and I think it flourished to be able to generate your own NIL from there. You know, I never really was going into it wanting to sign a marketing agent and right away or just get some money at first. I think that really benefited me. And I think just my teammates as well gave me them advice here is, you know, the money that you're going to make in the NFL is far more than what you can make in college. And how are you going to set yourself up for success to do that? And really generate, you know, relationships in the community that you can come back to whenever football is done. Because it only lasts so long. And I think, you know, that's definitely realized that throughout my career. And it's been a great opportunity so far, and I'm super thankful for it.
Well, and clearly the better football player you become and the more success you have on the field, the more success you're going to have.
100%. 100%.
Yep. All right, we now welcome to the show Miami quarterback Cam Ward. Cam, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Appreciate you being here.
So always love hearing about people's journey. You're a kid from Lake Jackson, Texas. Probably under-recruited out of high school. I think you were. You go to the FCS level, start all 19 games you played in, go to Washington State for two seasons, start all 25 games. Some guys transfer because they're not playing. You played a lot. Now you're at Miami. Tell me your story.
My story is different. I carry myself different than a lot of people would just because, you know, what I had to go through from, you know, high school all the way to now from being under-recruited. I had one offer out of high school, so I took it and ran with it. But, you know, if I had to do that process all over again, I would. You know, I'm a quarterback for Miami Hurricanes now, so, you know, I'm blessed to be in this position. And, you know, going from, you know, Washington State to Miami, you know, it was an easy transition for me. The heat wasn't nothing at all. I'm from Texas. The offenses are similar to both air raid-ish, so a lot of concepts transferred over. I think it's just been plug and play for us since I got there. You know, I'm excited for this season. I'm excited for, you know, my teammates, and, you know, hopefully we're trying to get to our common goal.
Well, Miami has a really exciting history and tradition. You think of some of the players that have gone through Miami and the success they've had in the NFL. Maybe not so much in recent years, but what a great opportunity to bring Miami back to those glory days. You enter the season ranked in the top 25. I think there are a lot of people out there who say Miami can make a run all the way. What do you think?
I believe we can. But at the end of the day, it starts with, you know, fall camp, starts with game one. But I think the biggest thing for us, we got to be the same team every Saturday. We can't show up game one lazy, game two lazy, no matter who we play. So whether we're playing the best team or the worst team in the country, we got to be the same exact team, you know, every Saturday. And that's somebody who's going to play hard, play physical, and a team that's not selfish. Selfish team don't win football games. So, you know, the less selfish we are, the more we'll win.
Well, the first goal of every team is to get that sixth win, qualify for a bowl game, and then build on your season from there. You had the opportunity at Washington State a couple years ago to play in the L.A. Bowl. Tell me about that experience. Maybe you know, on the field, but any great memories of that bowl week and all the fun activities?
It was a good bowl week. Just the travel standpoint, going into L.A., the location was perfect. The best thing about, I say, that bowl game was playing at SoFi. That's probably one of the best games I played in. The turf was smooth. The facilities were nice. The Rams locker room and Chargers, we got a chance to visit the whole facility. So it was a good experience for us. We didn't come out with the win in the bowl game, but facility-wise, transportation-wise, it was a great weekend for us.
So the next game you play in, you're going to win, and you're going to kind of cross that hurdle. Check
yes,
that
sir,
off your list.
Trying to.
We now welcome to the show ESPN reporter Taylor Tannenbaum. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Taylor, you're a Southern girl, Florida girl.
Yep.
Born in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
Grew up there as well.
I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. I've worked in Alabama for 5 years, then went to Indianapolis, worked for there, and now I'm living in Charlotte. So I
went to Florida State.
Yeah.
So you're happy to be at ACC Media Day. Happy to work for the ACC Network. You get your fill of Florida State.
All the time. It's exciting. And to be part of this conference is a joy. And then to also follow my alma mater is a nice added bonus too.
Now, how did you get here? When you went to school, did you study journalism? Did you always want to be a on-air talent, or did you have some other goal and you just ended up here?
No, I did. I think I always wanted to do this. I was in TV production, honestly, in fifth grade when we had like our morning announcements. I was doing that when I was a kid. I did it in high school at Cooper City High School down in South Florida. And then when I went to college, I've just always liked people and I've always liked sports. And there's a purity about sports that brings people together that other things just don't. And if I was able to make a living off of this, then I was going to be pretty happy. And so far it's worked out.
So you must be pretty happy.
Yeah, then. I'm pretty happy. This is my day job. I know it's a long day working at ACC kickoff or meetings and stuff like that. You know, it's 10, 12 hour days, but I'm getting paid to talk about sports for a living. It could be worse.
It could be much worse. This will be your third year with the ACC Network. What's your specific assignment this year?
My specific assignment this year is ACC Huddle host, Okay. Which is really exciting, a new promotion. So every Saturday, we take the show on the road to wherever the 8 p.m. kickoff is on ACC Network. So I myself sit alongside Eddie Royal from Virginia Tech and E.J. Manuel, former Florida State quarterback, Eric McLean, played at Clemson, and Hall of Fame head coach Mark Richt. And we start at 11 a.m. with a pre-game show. We go throughout the day with a pre-game show and post-game show to wrap up the day live from site. So it's going to be a joy. And I also co-host ACC PM on ACC Network with Mark Packer every day, which is so much fun.
Tell our listeners a little bit about the preparation for those shows. I think the average viewer, listener doesn't understand it. I've developed an appreciation. I've done 60 of these podcasts now, and you know, I'm nowhere near your level, but just the amount of research I have to do and learning the person you're going to be sitting down with, it's a lot more than people realize.
That is the hardest part of my job, especially when I talk to young people about getting into this business, because so many people see the glitz and the glamour of on camera, and let me tell you, it's not all glitz and glamour, but
the behind the scenes are much different.
The biggest work is put in researching and preparing, because once those lights turn on, you got to make sure you know what you're talking about. And it's also about respecting the other person you're sitting across from, right? So in order for me to get the best out of you, I need to have done my research, and you need to be respected. So the bulk of my work, I spend hours and hours, like for the 3 hour daily show that I do called ACCPM, I spend no less than 3 hours every day before that preparing just for that show. So that is probably the hardest part of the job that people don't see, but it's worth it. And if you dig a little, you find some really cool nuggets on people. And that's the whole point, right, is to tell people's story.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Taylor Tannenbaum, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so
much. And that'll do it for episode one of Any Given Season, a bowl season podcast. Please join us in all future podcasts. You can find us on YouTube, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And please follow us on bowlseason.com, social media at bowl season. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming. It's been a